Hi, and welcome to another installment of the SaaS Insight and Innovators podcast series. I'm Shelley Gooden, and today we're talking with John Brocklebank and Dave Dickey, SaaS experts and co-authors of SaaS for Forecasting Time series, second edition. To learn more about this book, visit our website at saas.com/bookstore. Dave and John, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shelley.
Your book, SaaS for Forecasting Time series, has been indispensable to SaaS users for a number of years. The first edition was published in 1986, and then you followed up with your second edition a few years ago. Why do you think this book continues to be a staple for SaaS?
Well, I think that it offers a really nice level for time series users. There are books that I call time series appreciation books, and it's really just like art appreciation. You learn how to look at pictures, but you don't know how to make anything. And then there are theory of color books, and there are theory of time series books. In the theory of time series books, you do a lot of mathematics and proofs of theorems. But again, you may come away, and I just taught a class yesterday and told them this. I said, you may come away not knowing how to use all that great mathematical knowledge. This book hits at the level of the practitioner. You come away with the knowledge of how to actually do something.
Yeah, that's a good point, Dave. I think people can actually go in the book and wind up doing something. They may not do every piece of every chapter, but they can initially start. A lot of times they've got time series data. They want to try to do some modeling. They want to move up from running, say, a procedure like procreg to a procedure like procarema or procautoreg, for example. And if they can make that leap, many times they can be very successful.
That's right. This book has chapters at all different levels, and you can come into a chapter really and read it separately and bring yourself up a notch.
Well, who is the target audience for this book?
Well, one of my favorite groups that I deal with on a regular basis are people who work in financial services, for example. That's a community that has lots of customer data, for example, the credit card industry. They have a time series of observational data for each of their customers' accounts or households, and they have to consolidate that into one record per customer. And many times they apply these time series methods, and they'll fit models, and they'll take the parameters from those models, for example, and they'll bring those into a customer-centric view and find out they correlate very well with propensities to attrite or churn or other metrics that they're analyzing on a regular basis.
Within the university, John, we also have some very interesting time series work going on. A couple of things that I've worked with, and the folks I work with tend to have this book and look at it a lot, are environmental engineering, where we've looked at data taken over time. These would be things like nutrients in streams, pollutants, that kind of thing in the air and in streams. Another application area is in engineering. And again, right now, I'm working with someone who's looking at steel girders that are damaged, and he's looking at what happens when you hit that girder or stress that girder. How does it wave in response to that stress? And we actually have a chapter in the book on what's called the spectral analysis of time series, something that breaks a time series down into frequencies of vibration.
And Dave, also, haven't you worked on this hurricane data analysis that's going on right now?
That's right, John. We did analysis of how many hurricanes were going to hit land. And we've done this now for 2 or 3 years. And so, again, that's a time series-based methodology. And you have to worry a little bit about what happens over time, whether things are close enough together to be, as we call it, serially correlated, or whether they're far enough apart to be independent.
If you will, I'm wondering if you can both share your background and experiences using SaaS. John?
Well, actually, I got a lot of my training from SaaS from Dave Dickey. I was in a number of his classes, and I went to North Carolina State University and worked on a PhD there, and then finished on a Friday afternoon, took my defense, and then started work at SaaS in 1981 on a Monday. So it's I was enlightened by SaaS, not only from Dave, but also from Herbert Kirk, who's Vice President of Education, and he actually did a little training course for students back at North Carolina State, so it was an eye-opener, needless to say, coming from a Fortran background to be able to pick up SAS and manage and analyze data so quickly.
Well, Shelley, we take a lot of credit for what our students do at NC State. So John makes us all look good, and our other students make us all look good. I started with SAS before SAS Institute was formed. I was doing my graduate work at Iowa State University from 1972 to 76. I used SAS in a lot of my research work I did, of course, in Fortran, just like John mentioned. Then once John got his job, he and Herb Kirk, again, to mention Herb again, contacted us about making a course in time series. So John and I did the first time series course for Herbert. It was pretty successful, and of course Herb picked up on that and said, why don't you make a book out of that? And so we did that some many years ago, and it was quite an interesting project. We got a lot of help from SAS Institute, and I'm grateful to them.
What do you most hope that readers will take away from this book?
Well, I want them, as I said before, to be able to actually go out there and hit the ground running and do something with the knowledge they gain from that book. And I see that they do. And it's quite often the case that someone will come into my office at North Carolina State. They're doing some sort of research project. They'll have the book in their hand and they'll say, I'm trying to do something like this. I can follow it quite nicely here. Explain to me some details, or do you think it's appropriate for the work that I'm doing now? And I often find that indeed it is, and that they've really been able to do pretty well just looking at the book and getting started with their own data. We do have lots of examples in there, lots of different kinds of examples, really interesting examples. The other thing that I had mentioned earlier to you while we were walking over here is we have a chapter in there that has two topics that happened to win the Nobel Prize in Economics a couple of years ago. And so that was kind of a serendipity that we happened to have put that chapter in the book, and then it turns out to get all this publicity with the Nobel Committee.
It's fantastic.
Well, Dave, along those same lines, I think, you know, if we can teach people to be sensitive around this phenomenon known as autocorrelation and running regressions and looking at the residuals and saying, you know, there's a departure from my assumptions and I really need to perhaps do something. And, you know, it can make you more sensitive and it can help you in terms of your presentation. And quite honestly, if you ever wind up in court or something, at least you've done the right thing. So, you know, people need to be sensitive that you definitely are under scrutiny when you analyze data and you present it to people.
That is right on target. And I know that we've talked in some of the courses that we've taught with people. Some companies spend a lot of money buying future values of some series that they want to use in their regression analysis. And you have to be a little careful there, because a lot of the predictability that you might be getting is really just coming from the momentum of the series. And this technique that you mentioned, John, lets people separate out those two parts of their forecast. And sometimes we've found, I know you and I have worked on some of these, we've found in the past that really the bang for your buck you're getting with those purchased estimates of what's going to happen in the future are really not buying you very much when it comes down to, say, your company's sales. Really, it's the momentum that's driving them.
Yeah, you're right, Dave. And many times they'll produce these confidence limits, and the first month they jump outside the confidence limits and they throw up their arms and say, what have I done?
Exactly.
Well, Dave, how can professors utilize this book in their classrooms?
Well, it makes a pretty nice textbook. A lot of times it will be a supplementary textbook, so it kind of depends on what level of course you're teaching. We mentioned the different levels that are available there. A couple of us at NC State have been able to use that as our only textbook, along, of course, with excellent lectures that we do in the classroom and a little bit of writing on the board. But it serves as a very nice textbook in itself, or as a side reference. If you're looking at a more theoretical textbook, this makes a nice introduction to how you can put the theoretical knowledge to work. And I think it's gone over well with the students.
Sure it has. And John, I'm wondering if you can speak to how SAS professionals can utilize this book.
Well, I quite honestly, I actually use the book an awful lot in terms of customer visits and meetings and that type of thing. I carry it along with me, and it really helps me in terms of setting a foundation for analytic activity that we actually provide through SAS Solutions On Demand, for example. And so it's a good starting point.
Great. Thank you so much, both of you, for joining us today. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we close?
Well, this has been a great collaboration. I really appreciate John's help in getting this first edition together and getting the second edition out. Several folks here at SAS have been very, very helpful to us. I always enjoy coming out here. Herbert Kirk, again, thanks to him for getting us started with this project. It's really worked out quite well. I think this is a unique book. I think it has no equal.
Thank you, Shelley. Great opportunity, and we look forward to revising the book at some point. Thanks again.
Thank you. We've been talking with John Brocklebank and Dave Dickey, co-authors of SAS for Forecasting Time series, Second Edition. This podcast is part of the SAS Insight and Innovators podcast series. For more information about this book, visit sas.com/bookstore or email us at talkback@sas.com.